just a few hours, the very first high day of the year will be upon us, of course, the first day of unleavened bread. And look down, it's a time to reflect on our spiritual lives, you know, how well we're waging the war against sin. And I'm certain that we'll be hearing much more on this topic, but I want to focus on the very beginning part of the first day of unleavened bread. That is the night to be much observed, or the night to be much remembered. It falls at the very beginning of the first holy day, which of course will be at sunset this evening. What is that all about? Why do we observe this event in the church? What does it mean for us? That is the purpose of my sermonette. Let's go to Exodus 12 and just review the historical account of Israel in Egypt, because that is the basis for our modern celebration. Exodus 12, and we start with the Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It should be the first month of the year to you, and speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month of the month, they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. Verse 6, keeping it up to the 14th day of the same month, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, between the evenings or at dusk. And striking taking of the blood, putting it on the posts, eating the flesh of that night, verse 8. And verse 10, let nothing of it remain to the morning, and whatever remains, well, you shall burn with fire. And eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, the Passover. But we keep reading in verse 15, that following the Passover, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Whoever eats leavened bread from the first day till the 7th day, that individual shall be cut off from Israel. The first day there will be a holy convocation, and the 7th day a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done, except what everyone must eat, that may only be done of you. Verse 17, you will observe the feast of unleavened bread, for, and this is important, in this selfsame day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, therefore you will observe this day in your generation by ordinance forever. That is a very, very key verse as far as the timing is concerned, because it talks about the selfsame day, that first day of unleavened bread. We won't turn here, but Leviticus 23, with all the holy days, it's very clear that the Passover is to be observed on the 14th, right? But the first day of unleavened bread is the 15th. Very clear. Very, very clear. And when we think back at that first account with Israel, they kept the Passover at twilight, which is the early part of the 14th. At midnight, the death angel passed by, passed over their houses. They were told in no uncertain terms to remain indoors until the morning. Now, during the daylight portion of the 14th, Israel spoiled Egypt. They collected, you might say, their back wages from being slaves. And they started their trek out of Egypt. Now, with about 3 million people, the assembling, the marching took hours at that daylight portion of the 14th. Finally, we reached the end of the 14th. It's sunset, the 14th is over, the 15th, of course, commences. That is when Israel came out of Egypt. It was the night that they came out on the 15th of that first portion. Not the 14th, but the 15th. Let's read in verse 37. Verse 37 of Exodus 12. It says, the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. Flocks, herds, very much cattle. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an easy trek out of Egypt. There were animals, there's children. It took all day, really, to assemble and to start to leave. They baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they would not stay, neither had they prepared themselves any food. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. It came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, this is the key verse of the sermonette. It is a night, that night that they came out of Egypt, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Well, it's the night. Sunset happened, the 14th is over, the 15th has commenced, and that night, the beginning of the 15th, is when they actually were finally out from the confines of Egypt. We even see further confirmation of this. Let's go to Numbers chapter 33, the book of Numbers chapter 33. In verse 1, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their goings out. Notice verse 3. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. And of course, this is very key as far as timing. There is controversy in some circles that would confuse and would confuse the situation. But it's pretty clear when you put all the facts together as far as when they actually went out and what is the night to be observed, that beginning portion of the 15th. They went out with a high hand. They were victorious. I mean, you can only imagine how they felt that they were finally out of slavery, literal slavery, and free from their oppressors. And really, the historical night to be much observed is all about freedom. It's all about freedom. So when we start our celebration this evening, is it just for historical purposes? In other words, do we simply reflect on the story in Scripture, Israel coming out of Egypt, God's deliverance for them, which is fantastic and miraculous? Is that all we do? And the answer, of course, is no. That's not the only thing to think about. As with many Old Testament events and concepts, they point to a greater fulfillment for New Covenant Christians, the Church of God. There's a lot of meaning for us today. With the night to be much observed, all about freedom, gaining freedom from Egypt for the Israelites. It was liberty at last. But what about us? What about us? We'll have Jesus answer that question. Let's go to the New Testament, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him and said, well, we're Abraham's descendants. We were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Well, they forgot the history lesson. I think they kind of were in slavery and bondage. In any event, Jesus said, well, truly, truly, I say to you, and this is the key for us, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So the real freedom, the ultimate freedom, is not just from a physical slavery or imprisonment. The ultimate freedom is freedom from sin. And why is this so important and so critical? Well, Paul sums it up. We turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 16, he writes, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, to holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things where you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." The end of those things is death. "But now," verse 22, "being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." That's the real key scripture in terms of our understanding of why we are celebrating the night to be much observed. As he ends in the chapter, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So if there's no freedom from sin, death awaits all of us. Right? That's the penalty. That is the penalty. But we have the ultimate freedom through the sacrifice of Christ. And that really is what the Night Too Much Observed is all about. It's reflecting on that. And so when we start our observation, our remembrance of this evening, it's a time of thankfulness, right? It's a time of happiness, appreciation for being God's people, being delivered from being slaves to sin, and now we are servants of Jesus Christ and God. And that's why this evening it's a night of celebration. You know, the Passover observance, it's sober, it's reflective, it's remembering what Christ went through. But this evening, it's the reflection that he paid the price. We have the victory through him, and we should just rejoice. So let's do that later on as we break bread with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who share our joy.